Hi, this is Jim Armstrong, founder of the Inner Circle Club and Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems, and today's module is how to generate enormous profits doing trade shows. We're going to be covering just some very specific step-by-step strategies today, and we're actually not going to take a real long time with this because the strategies are actually pretty simple. And then what we're going to do afterwards is open it up to basically open forum Q&A. We can do question and answers on the trade show, but also anything else you want to bring to the table. So let's just go ahead and dig right in. I've done trade shows, made a lot of money doing it, and I've also observed others doing trade shows, and I see a lot of mistakes being made, people not getting the biggest bang for their buck, you know, when they go do a trade show. And so I'm going to give you a very specific set of strategies that you can incorporate into any trade show that you do. If you've got if you've had success doing trade shows, well, you can incorporate these without, you know, revamping it from the ground up. If you've got a display that a setup that you looks really good at the trade show and so forth, or you don't have to, you know, tear it down and start over from scratch. These are just some strategies to implement with whatever trade show you're doing and turn them into a big profit generator for you. First thing I want to do is cover the basic outline of how these strategies are done and how to set it up so that you're generating the most leads possible, and then also the follow-up afterwards to turn into sales. Basically, the strategy is about lead generation. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with getting a sale at the show. I do think you should try and get sales at the show. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. In fact, I recommend it. This strategy, though, focuses on developing a huge list of leads that are a good target for you to market to after the trade show. Basically, with the booth set up, if you've got your manuals there on page 4, the booth setup, basically, the only recommendation I'm going to make at this time is if you set it up just as you normally would, if you've got your samples and displays and all the things you normally take to this trade show, set it up. What I'm recommending that you add to that is get, you know, half a dozen client photos and testimonials and blow them up to poster size and put them around the trade show booth. And, of course, we've talked over and over again about the power of testimonials, how no matter how elegant you are at saying, at describing the benefits of your store, it always sounds 10 times more powerful coming from someone else. And the photos, again, we've talked about this as well, should not be professionally done, like you go to a studio or something. They should be snapshots like you take at a kid's birthday. And the reason for that is because it looks more real. It doesn't look like you've hired actors, you know, to come in, and it doesn't look fake and like marketing. It looks, or advertising, it looks like these are real life flesh and blood human beings who are just thrilled with your service. In the rapid launch modules, testimonials and referrals, I go into great detail about that, so you may want to review it if what I'm saying does not make sense. But at any rate, banners that talk about the sweepstakes that we're going to get to in just a minute, any trade show specials that you have, and that sort of thing. During the trade show, you want to sign up people for the flooring sweepstakes, and when they sign up, they're going to be filling out an entry form that gives you all their contact info. And the key is, don't wait for people to approach your booth. I see that mistake made a lot. You're going to get very few people, relatively few people, who walk up and sign up. What I recommend doing is taking the entry forms and having them on clipboards, and have half a dozen clipboards, and basically as people walk by your booth, just walk up to them and say, "Hi, would you like to enter to win a whole house of free flooring?" And you'll get a whole lot more people to sign up than if you just wait for them to come to you. The other thing is the reason you want to have about a half a dozen clipboards is because people come by in clumps. And so while one person's filling one out, you want to be able to hand out the clipboard so you don't lose people. Some people will want to schedule a design audit right at the show, so keep your calendar handy, and you may even be able to begin the design audit process right there. Hand out consumer awareness flyers and have some kind of a trade show special, because you will be able to obviously make some sales there. So we'll get into that in just a little while. Now, after the show, here's the important thing. You've got all these leads. If you don't do anything with them, well, then they're useless. So the real key is the follow-up after the show. So what you're going to do is, and you'll see in a minute when we get to the entry forms, how these are very calculated to give you some very specific information about the people you're going to be marketing to. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to pick a grand prize winner who's going to get this person to get their grand prize. Part of the way they're going to get that, they have to agree to let you take before and after photos or videos of them, of their floors, obtain an audio or video testimonial for use in your marketing, and they're going to be happy to do that because they've just won all these, the free floors. Everybody else who entered, who meets your criteria, comes in second place, and the recommended prize that I've got for the marketing is a gift certificate for $250 for your store. And then you're going to also follow up with them with a letter and a phone call. Pretty simple, basic step-by-step lead generation strategy is what this is. On the next page is a trade show checklist where I give all the items that you need to make this part of the trade show or this strategy happen. And so that can be helpful, obviously, add to the list or whatever for the other things that you're bringing. But these are the items, and I won't go through it, but they're the items you need to make sure that this sweepstakes is successful. Skipping over to page 7, if you've got the manual there, are just some sample banners. These can be hung along with any other signs or banners that you have for your store that have your store name and store logo. These just list 3 of the main messages that you want to get across. First of all is the guarantee, which is you'll be thrilled with your new floor or we'll replace it free. That's the first one. And if you're not familiar with the 100% ironclad triple guarantee, it's in the rapid launch modules. The next one is enter to win new floors for your entire home. If you don't want to do your entire home, you could make it, living, dining, family room or something, or however you want to arrange that. I do recommend putting some kind of a limit on it. If somebody has a 5,000 square foot home, you could put a dollar limit, enter to win new floors for your entire home, and then on the entry forms, up to, $3,000, something like that, to limit that. And then if they want to do more, they can. So that's up to you how much you want to give away as the grand prize. Obviously, the more you do, the bigger the pop, the more interest you're going to generate and the more leads you're going to generate. But there, you can have flexibility there. The next one is a suggested special for the flooring for the show, which is get every fourth room free, also zero down, zero interest, and zero payment for 12 months. Again, there's other specials you could do. You could do package deals. There's all kinds of things. This is just one that has a lot of... It sounds different. It doesn't sound like a percentage off, get 10% off or 20% off sort of thing. It uses the word free. Every fourth room free sounds different than what if you have competitors at the trade show. They're probably not going to do anything that even sounds like that, so it's going to create differentiation and separate you. The other, in the rapid launch talk about how this works out to approximately a 12% discount when I've taken measurements. I took measurements from 10 houses and averaged it out, and by going every fourth room free, it averaged about a 12% discount. And so, again, in the rapid launch, it explains how to do that special. Okay, on the next page, page 8 is just a sample testimonial poster. You can see just taking a client, blow it up to poster size. The photo has a headline. The headline is Barry and Diana Johnson got the flooring of their dreams, and then down below is a testimonial. And you notice the photo, it's just a snapshot of them standing in their house. They don't look like actors or something you'd see in a typical brochure. It looks very real. And you have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those posted throughout your display. That's gonna create a real wow factor. Moving along, basically, I've got a sample tabletop display that says "Register here to win a free flooring for your entire home." Goes along with the banner. The next page is the actual forms, and a couple of things I want to mention about these is, first of all, they're printed 3 to a sheet. You can email these to your printer. They can print them out, you know, cut them into thirds and then glue bind the ends. Very inexpensive to make these, and you know, get a couple thousand of them printed up, depending on the size of the show you're doing. Obviously, it gets their name, address, city, state, phone, email. Also asks how many square feet is their home, do you own or rent. That's important because basically when you go through all of these, you're probably not going to want to send out mailings to renters because they're not going to be buying flooring. It's the property managers. So first thing you're going to do when you go through these is toss out all the ones that are the people that are renting, because they're not going to do you any good. How old is your flooring? Tells you know how many years, so you'll know if they're about how long they've gone between replacing. So if they're nearing that 7-year mark, obviously they're going to probably be in the market for new floors rather than someone who'd had it done 6 months ago. And then it asks, I plan to replace my flooring in 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So you get an idea. If somebody says 1 month, well, gosh, they're like have started the shopping process, really. The next is, would you like us to contact you for a free, no obligations design audit, yes or no? And then at the bottom, this is important, above constitutes permission for an agent of Jimbo's Floors to contact you by phone, mail, or email. And that gets you around the spamming issue if you do decide to email them, and also the do not call, because they are giving you permission to follow up with them. All right, next page is basically the design audit, tabletop display. It's on page 13. And again, the main purpose is to generate leads. But you are going to get people who are looking to buy floors right now. So have everything ready at the trade show to take them through that design audit process, just like you would do at your showroom, so you can make that sale. Just have it ready to go, because you don't want to miss those sales. The design on a tabletop display, again, it gives the benefits, how your sales process is now different than everybody else's. I'm not going to go into the whole design audit. It's in the rapid launch. But this just educates them on the benefits of going through that process with you. Next page is the consumer awareness flyers. These you can hand out at the trade show along with any other literature that you want to. This has the 24-hour consumer awareness message that they can call and listen to the education about how to choose a floor covering dealer. This is a whole lot less expensive than handing out consumer guides. Handing out 2,000 of those is going to be pretty expensive, but you can print these out and have them just call the hotline and get information on how to choose a flooring dealer. And again, this is in Module 8 of the Rapid Launch, how this strategy works, but using it in the trade show can be very powerful. Also, down below that is the 100% Ironclad Triple Guarantee, just kind of restated. It says, if you aren't thrilled with your new floors, I'll replace them free. When you purchase flooring from Jimbo's Floors, you're protected by the most amazing guarantee in the business. And then it just goes on to the verbiage that spells out that guarantee. And again, that's in the Rapid Launch module. And then on the back of the flyer, make sure that you put lots of testimonials. Put them in little 9 or 10 point type and cram as many testimonials on there as you can. That way you're making the best use of both sides of that flyer. You can print these up very inexpensively and hand out, you know, thousands of them, and those will generate some jobs as well. And it's so inexpensive that even if you can hand out a thousand of these, if you get even one job, it's way more than paid for itself. So don't neglect to do that. Now we're moving on to the follow-up marketing. So you've done the trade show, you've generated all these leads. How are we going to turn that into money? Well, it's through the follow-up. And like I said earlier, what you're going to do is select a grand prize winner from all the entries. And again, this person agrees to let you take a before and after photo, get a testimonial, and so forth. And you're just going to call them directly and congratulate them on winning and move forward with, you know, having their floors installed. Again, I definitely recommend having a cap on how much you're going to spend on that, whatever you decide that is, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever, because you're going to get people with some huge houses and you don't want to be on the line for a $10,000, you know, flooring job. Then you want to select your second place winners. And basically, you're going to go through that big stack of leads and you're just going to select everyone who meets your criteria as an ideal client. And, you know, where they live, if they live 100 miles away, there's really no point in marketing to them. If they live in an area that you don't want to market to, you know, you can eliminate those. Somebody who's renting, et cetera, et cetera. So you narrow them down to the people who actually fit your criteria. On the next page is the letter that you're going to send out to them. And that starts on page 18 in the manual, and it basically, the headline says, you won. You entered the flooring sweepstakes at the Home and Garden Show, and you just won a $250 gift certificate. And then the letter goes into the specifics of the offer, and you'll notice that it uses the double readership path. It has the subheads. It has benefits. It has a call to action, and it has a PS at the end, just like we've talked about for the copywriting letter formula writing. I'm sorry, for the copywriting formulas that we've talked about before. It has a definite deadline on it. You're going to do this as either a 30 or a 45-day campaign. I have, so make sure that you've got that deadline in there. It also restates the zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for up to one full year. So if you have financing that you can provide, I'll definitely include that. It gives them the 100% Ironclad Triple Guarantee, all the stuff they need to know to make an educated decision and choose you like right now instead of waiting or choosing somebody else. 3 days after, and this is on the last page of the manual, 3 to 5 days after you send those up, you're going to start following up with them. So take your leads and divide them up among the salespeople. And not everyone's going to need flooring right then. That's okay. That doesn't mean that those leads are wasted. So what you're going to do is take all of those leads and you're going to add them to your herd and subscribe them to your Home Advisor newsletter for the next 2 years. You're going to send them all the specials that you send to your previous clients, because this is where the entry form is so critical. It's giving you the information you need to know if this person is an ideal client for you. So that's why you're only going to deal with the ones that match your criteria for an ideal client. So you've got this list, and it's a list you couldn't buy commercially. These people have, you know, volunteered to enter your sweepstakes. They've given you permission to contact them, and you're going to harvest a lot of business from them. Now, the script for the flooring sweepstakes, I've given you two, the answering machine script. I'll just go through that, and you say, "Hi, this is Jim with Jimbo's Floors, and I'm calling for two reasons. First, you entered our flooring sweepstakes at the Home and Garden Show, and I'm calling to let you know that you've won second prize, which is a gift certificate to Jimbo's Floors for $250. Second, you checked on your entry ticket that you're interested in receiving a free, no-obligations design audit. So please give me a call at 530-790-3338 to arrange your free design audit and to claim your $250 gift certificate. Now, please call me right away because you must claim your free certificate before the deadline. Again, this is Jim with Jimbo's Floors, and you've won a free gift certificate for $250. Please call me right away at 530-790-3338 to claim your prize. Thank you." And I would try following up with them a couple of times. If you get a hold of them live, then the script goes similarly, but you're going to book an appointment. So you'd say, "Hi, this is Jim with Jimbo's Floors. Is this Mary Smith?" "Well, I'm calling for two reasons. First, you entered our flooring sweepstakes at the Home and Garden Show. I'm just calling to let you know that you've won second prize, which is a free Jimbo's gift certificate for $250. Congratulations. Second, you checked on your entry ticket that you're interested in receiving a free no-obligations design audit. And I'm just calling so we can set up your free design audit and to arrange for you to receive your $250 gift certificate. Our mornings or afternoons better for you to come down to our store and then schedule an appointment." So you can you don't have to use these scripts word for word. You can modify them, et cetera, but they give you an idea of what you're trying to accomplish with the follow-up call. The reason I mention reminding them that they signed up, I say, "You entered our free flooring sweepstakes at the Home and Garden Show." Be sure you say that because they may have visited 100 different booths. And lots of people do contests at these trade shows or, expo-type shows. So you need to remind them that they entered your contest, and that's why you're calling. So that's why I say that. That is pretty much it, folks. I knew it wouldn't take a long time to get through this because it's a pretty simple strategy. Dan Kennedy says, "Little hinges swing big doors," and so some of the details that I've highlighted in there may seem trivial, but they really do make a difference. For instance, as people walk by your booth, going up to them and asking if they want to enter the sweepstakes. Those, that makes a big, big difference. So little things like that, just to help maximize your profitability when you do a trade show. So let's go ahead and open it up. Again, we'll talk about any trade show questions. This is open forum as well, so whatever else you guys want to have questions about or discuss, we can do it. So who's first?
Hey, Jim. Sam up here in Minnesota.
Hey, Sam. Oh, by the way, you're getting ready to do a trade show.
Yes, I am. This coming weekend, and getting pretty much in line. I do have one question, and I got in here a little late this morning, and you might have already covered it here, but on the grand prize winner.
Yes.
When we need them to agree to the photo shoot and all this, how do you preempt that to not have turn a positive into a negative there?
You mean, in other words, make it so that they think it's a good thing?
They make it, yeah, a good thing, and they realize it. You know, are you saying this? You know, you hate to, you know, if you win, you know, we'd like to be able to take your photo, but what happens if you draw somebody and then all of a sudden they say, "Well, I didn't know I had to do that"?
Oh, you tell them. You tell them ahead of time.
Okay.
And how I do it is I make it part of the prize. You know, you've won you come in first place with, you know, the sweepstakes, and you're going to get, you know, free flooring. You're going to get a article written about you in our newsletter. We're going to take your photo, and this is just fantastic. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. So I make it seem like part of the whole event.
Sure.
But I would have them sign something when you do it, you know, type out, okay, you're agreeing, we're going to take your photo, blah, blah, blah. I would get that, and I would have them sign something.
Okay.
And if they won't agree to it, that's...
Then you draw somebody else's?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Because they're getting, I mean, come on, they're getting a whole... What if you're, even if your prize is only 3 rooms of free flooring, I mean, give me a break. That's really a spectacular thing they're getting.
Oh,
and
I
anybody who disagrees, I think is that would be really unusual.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I would be surprised if you pulled somebody like that.
Okay, because sometimes I just don't want to make it an awkward situation.
Yeah. Just prep them ahead of time, spin it as a positive so that they're, you know, present it as, you know, this is part of the prize.
Sure.
You've earned the right to do that with this.
Okay.
This is a really good prize.
I can work with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one other thing I want to mention, too, the gift certificate of $250, you've got an example of that in your trade show. I'm not your trade show, your joint ventures manual. That is a tiered gift certificate, and that means basically I try to peg it to about 10% discount. So the $250 is for purchases of $2,500 and over, and it says all this on the gift certificate itself. You know, between $1,000 and $2,499, it's, you know, dinner for two and a free spotting kit. Between $500 and $1,000, it's, you know, movies, you know, send you out for a night on the movies, something like that. So what I will do is, I know there's some people on the call who don't have the joint ventures module, so I'm going to re-email that sample gift certificate so that everybody will have that and know how to tier that, because you're not just giving away $250 where they come in and they can just, like, buy a whole bunch of cleaning supplies or something. It really is a tiered kind of thing. Gift certificates have more implied value than discount coupons. That's why I like gift certificates better. And you want to have them printed up, again, on nice paper, like parchment or thick cardstock. Cut them into thirds. You can print 3 on one sheet and have the printer cut them into thirds. And make them come to the store to get the gift certificate. It's probably, you know, when you do the follow-up calls, if you're going to do follow-up calls, set an appointment for them to come in and pick up the gift certificate. Okay. Any other questions? Let's keep going around the room.
Hey, Jim, Brent over at Design West, what manual are you working out of?
This is the trade show manual. Emailed them out last week. Did you not get it?
Don't have that, sir.
Okay. I'm going to make a note to have Heather resend that to you, okay?
That'd be greatly appreciated.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, Jim, this is Dave Wadsworth. I didn't receive it either.
Anyone else not get it?
Jim, Steve D'Angelo here. I don't think I got it either.
That is really strange.
I was a little embarrassed to speak up earlier. But,
okay.
And this is Anetta with Quality, and I don't have that one either.
Okay. Well, you guys just joined, so I know you don't have it, but I don't. That's odd that you didn't. I'm going to just resend the whole thing then.
Jim, this is Dean in North Carolina. I did receive it.
You did? Oh, my gosh. I have no idea what happened. I apologize that you didn't get it. I'm going to resend it to everybody, and I'll make sure I include that sample gift certificate in there for all of you as well, okay? So.
Hey, Jim, Brent out at Design West.
Yeah.
Wondering from the group, I'm still looking to be able to find offers that get results.
Okay.
I'm looking to, because the things I'm using in my monthly issues that I'm sending out, my house smarts, I'm not getting very lucky on having any results, so sure like some input from what works for people.
Okay. What offers are you currently doing?
Well, we've been running a year-end inventory clearance, you know, at anywhere from 30 to 40% off, and we're getting hardly, if any, response to it all.
Okay.
So we've had a little bit of response from, you know, giving a discount off from floor care items, but from actual flooring sales, it's been pretty pathetic.
All right. Let's go around and first talk about some offers that folks have had success with, and then I've got some ideas for you to try as well, Brent. Anyone want to chime in on that? Some offers or some kind of a draw that's just had been a real success for them. Anybody ever had an offer any time in the history of their business that they've had an offer that they felt really worked well for them?
Jim, I'll speak up. I guess that's why we're all on the phone with you. All of our offer ideas are terrible.
All right. All right.
I've run a $100 off for any purchase over $1,000, and you know, I got to tell you, I've gotten let's say it comes out every month in this little direct mail package that goes out, and I get maybe 1 to 3 jobs a month from that.
Okay.
So, pretty basic.
Okay. How much does that cost you per month to do?
About $575.
Okay, and so if you're getting 3 jobs, what's your average job ticket?
Well, let's just say somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000.
Okay, so do you consider that a successful marketing campaign?
I do. On average, I think that it delivers more than it costs.
There you go. Okay. I consider it very successful. And everybody's bringing up some good points here. But before I jump in with my 2 cents, anybody else have some ideas that have worked for them? Even if it's been a while. I know some of you are in, throughout the United States, there's pocket areas that are slower than others. Some people are struggling with their local markets, et cetera, et cetera. So even things that may have worked in the past for you that you've had good results with. And I'm asking this on purpose because I'm going to make a point as soon as everybody gets done.
Jim, Sam up here in Minnesota.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, I'll ditto the. Yeah, that's probably the reason most of us are on the line with you is we're looking for something that works
okay.
Real consistent. Had things spotty here and there, but just last week I had to leave town here for a few days. But right before I left, I took 30 of my past customers and I sent them the get a night out at the movies, kind of a referral. Explaining the referral rewards program, and I just got back in town last night, and I've got one back already. It's got 10 names, and 3 of them said are ready to buy flooring, and actually one of the ladies has already been in the store, and I just sent this all out a week ago.
Okay.
So I mean, what you got works. And dig into your past clients.
Okay. Anyone else? That's great. That is fantastic, Sam. It does work, and that's an amazing response with only sending out 30 of those things. That's, compared to, when I say amazing, not amazing for the stuff in my system, but amazing for if you sent out 30 of your typical ads that most floor dealers do, you wouldn't get a response like that.
And the reason I took 30 is what I could get done just handwritten out myself and and sent out, and I'm going to try to make that if I can send out even 10 new ones a week,
Sure.
To keep going, and just what I can handle in the time I've got. I was very very pleasantly surprised when I got back and it was here on my desk.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for sharing that with us, Sam. Okay, anyone else want to chime in on this? Okay. Few things that immediately come to mind. First of all, I talked to dozens, and by the way, Brent, that is just an outstanding question. I'm really glad you asked it because it's giving me an opportunity to talk about some things that are very important. I talk to dozens of floor dealers every month, and I have a survey that I do when I'm talking with them because, you know, there's people signing up all the time wanting information about joining the Inner Circle Club.
Tim, I don't want to talk to her. I don't know what to tell her yet. I can't install it before Monday.
Who's this? I think somebody is not on mute there. So at any rate, what I was going to say is that I talk to dozens of floor dealers every month, and I do a survey about what are they doing as far as marketing. Every floor dealer I talk to, I ask that question. And two things stand out. One, they're almost all doing some sort of newspaper, direct mail, yellow pages, radio, television, some combination of those. And almost to a store, when I ask them what kind of results they're getting, it's anywhere from okay to lousy. And these are some stores that are spending $100,000 to $120,000 a year on this kind of marketing, and they tell me disappointed with the results. I then ask them how many clients they have in their past database. And the next thing I hear is, especially if they've been in business for any length of time, is 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. And I ask them, okay, what are you doing to market to your past client database? And to a store, nobody does it at all. It just never happens. Out of all, besides the members of this club, I might get one floor dealer every other month who says that they do some kind of regular communication with their past clients. So if you're going out into the cold marketplace, one of the most expensive things you can do is acquire a new client. And that's why, Steve, if you've got something that's producing new clients and paying for itself that you can then put into your herd to farm them for repeat and referral business, it's a success. The second thing is, Brent, specifically to your situation, some things I would experiment with. Well, first of all, you were in a position as well where you have a client database that hadn't really heard from you very regularly at all. Is that correct? You still there, Brent? Looks like Brent might have had to get off the line. So at any rate, hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So you had a database that you hadn't really been communicating with?
Yes.
Okay. So what is happening and by the way, I've been getting your newsletters that you sent out. They're outstanding. You've done three of them so far, which is great. You've reconnected with them. That is a process that sometimes takes a little bit of time because they haven't heard from you in so long. So that's one thing I would keep in mind. The other thing I would keep in mind is if you're doing offers, I would recommend experimenting with some different kinds of offers, such as every fourth room free, a package deal where you give do a living, dining, and hall, a year's worth of cleaning and maintenance, a vacuum cleaner, haul off your old carpet and move your furniture and put a package price on it. In the rapid launch, I talk about package pricing. Something like that has a different feel to it and a different, it's unusual. And it doesn't mean you have to give a big discount. It can just mean that you price it up the way it would normally be priced, but you just package it. The other thing is, like Sam was talking about, doing things to generate the referrals. I have literally gone months at a time without doing any kind of special offer to my past clients, only doing the communication with them with the newsletters and other things, but letting them know that I want their referrals. I've reached points in my business where I literally go months without doing any kind of a special offer, but I'll do things like put the confidential case files, the case studies where you've got a photo of a client with their story, their testimonial. It's like an insert that goes into the newsletter, and at the bottom the PS says, you know, who is the next person you know who needs new hardwood floors? They may not be aware of all their options. They may have been had a bad experience in the past. You'll be doing them a tremendous favor by referring to somebody that they can trust. So I'm constantly putting the word out that we want referrals. It's part of what we do. In the newsletter itself, you're thanking them, specific people, you know, thanks for all who referred us this month and those kinds of things. So keeping all of those things in mind, Brent, I think the first thing I would do is try some different kinds of offers if you're not getting any, you know, the kind of bang for your buck that with the ones you've described. Does that make sense?
Yep. Part of it is, Jim, though, is that I've also expanded, and you know this, that I'm also marketing to, I've expanded my expertise with other people. I've got a realtor and a designer that I'm sending out to their clientele also, and so that's, I'm about a third of the people that I'm sending to are only my clients, and the rest of them are other people's clients, and so that's why I was a little bit disappointed in what I'm getting back so far.
Okay. Well, you're doing, again, a third party. I'm just going to fall back on what I said before. You are there are a lot of variables when you're reestablishing contact with those past clients. You know, one of the things Dan Kennedy says is, you know, for every month that goes by, you lose 10% of the value of that relationship. So the reconnect campaign and the monthly contact with them is reestablishing that. I'll tell you, I had a partner of mine in another business. We did he'd never mailed to his past clients. And in his particular case, it took about 6 to 9 months before we really started seeing that consistent, steady response coming in from the monthly communications. It took a little while because a lot of them had moved away and they'd forgotten about them. So sometimes it can take some time. I had another person. It was who actually came to work for us. It was our project coordinator, and we did the ambassador campaign, which is essentially like the Connect campaign, except it was to her sphere of influence. And we immediately started getting response from it. I mean, within a month or two. Why the difference? I can't tell you. I have no idea why we got such more immediate response from one than the other. So that's another variable as well. So hopefully that gives you some things to consider and to work with. I think the first thing I would do is try some of the offers that are in the rapid launch, Brent.
Yeah, I figured that it would take. I figured it'd take at least 6 months to start getting some you know response that would be worth the expense that we're going about each month. So I kind of expected that, but I'm looking for new offers like the vacuum and the free cleaning and things like that that can add extra value to what we're doing. So.
Well, the end of the year special, the percentage off. I mean, they're not bad. They just sound like everybody else's. I see that a lot, and that's not. Please take that in the spirit that it's intended, Brent. It has just such an ordinary ring to it. That's why I've always worked so hard at creating offers that maybe boil down to kind of the same thing, but they just sound completely different. There's a novelty to them. You know what I'm saying? I think if you go into the rapid launch and look at some of the different package ideas that are in there. I think you'll find some things that will definitely create that differentiation that you're looking for.
Look into the rapid launch again.
Yeah, just in there, there's a section where I talk about doing package deals. Also in the in your manual, money making principles for floor dealers, I talk about that as well. So you can go into both of those manuals, and I do cover that topic. Basically, in a nutshell, what you're doing is you're taking a bunch of related services and benefits, putting them all together into a package and just giving it one price. I mean, you tell someone they get, you know, living, dining, and hall, carpeting, living, dining, hall, a year's, you know, free cleaning, a vacuum cleaner, a free lifetime warranty, the 100% ironclad guarantee, furniture moving, and, you know, out the door for $29.99 or something. That has a lot of appeal to people. A lot of appeal. And you see package pricing everywhere. People are conditioned to purchase package. I mean, when you go to a fast food restaurant, they have the meal deals. When you go to the car wash, they got the different packages. Tap into that kind of social conditioning that everybody has had, and you can get some really good response from that. I've certainly done it. So, okay, any other questions, or let's keep moving around the room. Any other questions or topics for discussion? Anything at all?
Jim, yeah. Steve here.
Hey.
One of the things I'm fighting too often recently is jobs are being awarded to kind of the independent installers for primarily like tile kind of stuff.
Okay.
We've had a real downturn in construction, so there's a bunch of out-of-work installers all kind of willing to, you know, work for anything.
Okay.
And just wondering if there were any smart strategies to try to combat that, anything that has been successful.
At what point in the sales process are you losing them?
In the bid stage. You know, submit numbers, they go with somebody else, somebody cheap.
Okay. Are you getting people who aren't doing that? In other words, people, you can give them your regular price, and they don't dicker with you, and they just go for it, and they're happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
You know what, Jim? It seems to be most prevalent when there's a builder or a contractor involved. You know, they feel like they can act as a general contractor and look after, you know, the installation. With an independent guy out of a truck, kind of a installer.
Okay, so is it a situation where the builder himself is coming in, or where the homeowner who is hired the builder is coming in?
Both.
Both, okay. All right. You using the design audit process?
We do. We're using that, and of course we're really promoting warranties and stability of our business. We're in brick and mortar for 20-some-odd years, and that should give people a lot more comfort than a guy out of a truck, some of which are, we have a contractor licensing program in Arizona, and some of these guys out of truck are not licensed contractors. There's a tremendous amount of vulnerability. We just haven't been able to sell enough fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the minds of these buyers to cause them to spend a little bit more.
Do you use the? Are you using the consumer's guide?
We have used that.
I mean, is every one of these people? Say that again.
Yes, some in some instances we have, and some we haven't.
Okay, all right. They all getting a stack of testimonials?
I'm not sure that I can say that we have used testimonials effectively with some of these clients.
Okay.
It's a good idea, and Maybe I need to just strengthen that program a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going through the list. There's a lot of what I call zero resistance.
Okay, James, you ready?
Strategies for creating a zero-resistance sales environment, and I want to go through these and make sure you're hitting a lot of the big ones. Okay, are you...
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to recommend doing. Take the world-class installation system, the sales process, and review that. Again, I love the expression, little hinges swing big doors. See if there are some key things that maybe are getting glossed over as part of the process. It's almost like I would need to hear how a sales presentation goes. So the first thing I would suggest is that you go back through and review that. Make sure that everybody's getting a consumer's guide. Everybody is not just being handed testimonials, but as part of the design audit, what I always did is built into the audit process a 5-minute chunk of time where I hand them a testimonial portfolio and I say, okay, I need to go get some measurements, or I need to do this, or I need to do that, and I'm going to let you look through this while I do. And I hand it to them, not like handing them a stack of brochures or something else for them to take with them, but I always made sure whenever possible before I did any bidding that they were looking through that testimonial portfolio. That is a little hinge that swings a big door. And one of the things I emphasize in the world-class installation system is that testimonial portfolio is going to do 90% of your selling for you. So make sure that that's getting implemented. Do you have a testimonial brag wall set up in your store?
No. Well, kind of. Yeah, around our front counter, we have letters that we've received from clients over the course of time. They're just pinned up there.
How prominent is it? I mean, when you come in, do you see it immediately?
We have some stuff around like that you see immediately. I think it's probably hard to you see it, but it's handwritten letters or letters, so
okay.
Small fonts. You'd have to be close enough to.
Well, what I mean is that you would see the display. So what
I would probably could do some things with that.
Okay, all right, and take this in the spirit it's intended. I'm looking for ways to make your wheel work better here.
Yeah.
Take for a brag wall, what you want is like a giant board, like a cork board or something, up against the wall that across the top, says what others are saying about us. Some kind of headline like that draws their eye to it so they go over to the display and look at it. The other thing is you can do like in the trade show module, where we had the poster size testimonials put throughout the trade show. There's absolutely no reason you couldn't do that around your showroom. As people are, they come in, they're looking around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. Good idea.
When people are not going with you, you find out they've gone somewhere else, how do you find out? How do you know they didn't go with you? I mean, besides the fact that they don't come back, how do you find out? Do you talk to them?
Sure. Okay. You follow up with things. You've given a quote, and so you work to follow up and stay in contact.
Here's another thing you could do. You could add this to the design audit is, you got a pen?
Yeah.
Okay. Add the questions when you go over the warranty, the 100% triple guarantee. Say, how important is having this kind of a guarantee to you? And get them to tell you, very important, not important at all, something like that. And then you can come back and say, we offer this warranty. Are the people that you are working with offering that? And if they're honest, they're going to tell you no. And say, okay, if they say yes, say, have you seen it in writing? The other thing is mentioning the fact that you've seen a couple of things. I would say when I was dealing with somebody like this, I would also say, okay, well, I understand that you're going elsewhere. How many testimonials did they show you? Oh, so you don't know what kind of work they do? Huh, so you're going to invest this much money and they didn't even provide you testimonials? Wow. Well, did they give you 100% ironclad triple guarantee where they'll agree to replace it within the first 30 days if you don't like it? Wow. You know, just I've done that kind of an approach and actually gotten some people back. It all goes back to what you did during that design audit presenting to them. So I would try those. Then the final thing to keep in mind is the overall philosophy that some people, all they care about is price. There are a certain percentage of the population where I don't care how good a job you do selling them, I don't care what you show them, the benefits and everything, Steve, they just don't care. They want cheapest price, bottom line. Those are not your client, and you got to let them go and use your marketing to magnetically attract the kinds of clients that will pay your price and do want high quality. You may find yourself when someone's in a situation where a builder is counseling them, because the builder in this case is not your friend. He's telling them, oh, we know where we can get it cheaper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You run into that situation?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, if this is a builder that you have a relationship with, well, by gosh, I would certainly be having a conversation with them. And the other thing is you may simply turn down that business and say somebody comes in and they're recommended by a builder. I've done this. When I've had people who were sent to my business who came through that kind of a funnel where I knew that they were price shoppers because of the way they were referred to me, I've come right out and tell them, I said, oh, well, you're probably not going to want to use this because we're not, if you're looking for the cheapest, that's not us. And I know you're looking for price. In fact, I've gone so far as to say, like I'd be bidding a job and I could sense that the person, they'd say, okay, well, we're gonna shop around, you know, we're still looking. And I would say to them, well, on what are you going to base your decision on? You know, you're going to make a decision. What? A very simple question that I'd ask them. You're going to look around. What factor are you going to base your decision on? And if they come back and said price, I'd say, oh, well, let's just save us both some time. I guarantee you, if you shop around, you will find people less expensive than us because we're one of the most expensive in town. And there's a reason for that. And then I go into the warranties, the testimonials, blah, blah, blah. And I said, so if you're in, Steve, I've had people get stunned. They go, oh. And it's like it takes that objection away from them. You just come out and admit it. Yeah, we're one of the most expensive in town. You will find people cheaper. So if you're going to base it solely on price, then let's just save us both time. And I've turned around a lot of people that way, even people who literally had flyers sitting on their coffee table from other people who were a third of the price. This is going harken back to the carpet cleaning days, even back that far. And then the other people who were just price shoppers, fine. They would say that's it, and I'd say okay. Then you know just going to respectfully suggest that you go somewhere else. And I'd sometimes actually give them a list of people who are advertising these incredibly dirt cheap prices. I go, here, if you're interested in super cheap price, here you go. And it really stuns people when you do the takeaway like that. So I'm also going to encourage you to have some fun with this.
Okay.
I know I gave you a lot there, but anyway, I've
okay,
had a good. I have fun with price shoppers. I figure if I'm going to lose them anyway, I'm going to go away from it feeling pretty good about the encounter.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Anybody else? We're actually a little after. I'm going to hang on for another 5 minutes or so. Does anybody else have anything they want to cover before we wrap it up? Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jim, Brent out at Design West again.
Hey.
Wondering how people are liking their newsletters and things that they're putting together each month. Anybody doing anything unique or different that we might be interested in?
Well, I tell you, I've been getting yours every month, Brent, and I'm really excited about what you're doing. In fact, I'm gonna send it out in the March newsletter. I'm gonna send out a copy so people can see what you're doing, because you've just done a really great job. In fact, I don't know if you were on the last call. I actually talked about it during the joint ventures module. I talked about yours in particular. David, are you on the line? Looks like David's off. I know that David is doing some things similar to what you're doing, Brent.
We're still looking to improve, and we feel like we've got a really good model, but we're not there yet. In fact, we may be up to 10 pages this letter going out. So
oh, man. Holy smokes. Well, you do the thing where you actually dedicate an entire page to two of your joint venture partners, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about that?
I've just decided to use my circle of influence and to pull in their clientele also. And one of them, a realtor, she was actually sending her own letter out, and she's since discontinued that because she likes ours so much better, and she's just given me a page each month to put in mine. And by using them, not only do I tie into their clientele, but I also am able to use their expertise and add greater value to our issues each month.
Talk about that. You have a designer you're working with too, right?
We do. We've got a lady that sells furniture and does interior design. And when I approached her about being a part of it, first thing she asked me was, how much would it cost me? And I told her there'd be absolutely no cost involved. She just has to be able to give me a page of great information that we can pass on to our clientele, and then that she has to be able to give me her clientele list to send it out to, and that also I become her preferred flooring dealer. So we kind of chipped away at three different areas there.
That's just fantastic, Brent, and that ties in with everything that we talked about in the joint ventures module. That's powerful. You keep that up, you're going to get great results. Take the suggestions from earlier about the different offers and things, but what you've essentially done, Brent, is you are their marketing. You're their marketing guy.
Yes.
And that is a powerful position to be in. You are the guy handling all the marketing to their clients.
The thing that excites me about it is that my circle of influence went from 500 to about 18 to 2200, and I become a referred person from somebody that they already think highly of. So, and we hope to be able to expand on that.
You have established an incredibly powerful farm, and I'm going to encourage you to, like any farm, hang in there, because you're going to get the harvest. It is going to happen. Take some of the suggestions you heard today and so forth, but it's going to work. I've done exactly what you're describing for 10 years, and they pay off big time. So just hats off to you for running with that, Brent. That's really powerful. Is anyone else on the call have some things they're doing with the Home Advisor that's kind of unique or different or made it their own? I know do you have a person who's doing full-time marketing for you?
My part-time gal here that works for me, her first responsibility is to take care of the issue every month.
Okay. So keep in mind, Brent's doing multi-pages and so forth. You've got an assistant doing that there for you. And that it is a big job to do the extra. So if at this point you're just going with the newsletter as is, it's going to work great for you. But as Brent has shown, you can take it, expand on it, and do all kinds of things. So again, good job, Brent, and I'm looking forward to getting an example out to everyone so they can see what you've done. Guys, we're out of time today, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You'll be getting the email, re-emailing the trade show materials to you. If for some reason you don't get it in the next 24 hours, send me a fax, and obviously we have a problem at our end, and we'll get that straightened out. Folks, this has just been a great call. Thanks for hanging on for the extra time here, and we will talk to you next time. Bye now.